You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this portion of the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast that we have each week on HoopFeed. And it was a big summer, a big month of July for USA basketball. The World University Games and the U19 World Championships were held. And the United States, of course, came away with gold medals in both of those events. And I figured the best way to celebrate the success of those teams and the job that the coaches did was to have the coaches on, and I was able to get them to adjust their schedule. So I have both Sherry Cole, the head coach of the World University Games team, and Katie Meyer, the head coach of the U19 World Championship team, on at this line at the same time. Coaches, congratulations, and welcome to Dishin' and Swishin' again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Coach Cole, we'll start with you first of all, since yours was first. You ended up in, is it pronounced Kazan? Kazan?
Yes.
Kazan, Russia. You end up with a situation where you're named March 12th. They do the trials are in the middle of May, and then you separate, and then you get back together for the World Games are July 8th. Yet your team seemed to play really, really well together and with limited practice time. How difficult is it to pull together an all-star team into a cohesive unit in that short a time period?
You know, I think that's where the importance of character comes in, because really what you do in that short amount of time is you try to make sure that they're ready, willing, and able to play for one another. And it takes a pretty big kid to be able to do that. And, you know, so much of successful basketball is about trust. I was just talking to someone last night about it. And then we ask these kids who compete feverishly against one another here in the States year in and year out within our programs to all of a sudden trust that this guy who they try to beat whenever they play, make sure that guy's going to have your backside help. And that stuff is, you know, so much of basketball is about that, being able to really believe in the people around you. And the group of kids I had were just fantastic at that. And I thought a great reflection of that was the relatively low number of turnovers that we had for a group that hasn't been together for very long. Just a really solid unselfishness among them. And that the credit goes to them for their willingness to buy into that.
Well, I think it's kind of ironic that you said, you know, that it talks about how big the kids are, because I think they gave you a team of 11 point guards and one center.
Kind of. We went over thinking, you know what, we're going to have to shoot it really well. And at one point, Kalina Lewis was one of 19, and we were like, this isn't going exactly the way we scripted it.
Yeah, and Katie, now, of course, your team, you also had that same short window of time. You at least got to play some games in advance. And there's something to be said about going to the Canary Islands to play. I mean, that's a nice little perk if you're going to have a training camp someplace.
Oh, yeah, that was a beautiful trip. It was nowhere, however, near Lithuania, but it was a great trip. And, you know, they had us in a really nice resort, so I wanted that one to last a little bit longer than it did, because it was, we landed 16 hours later, we played in, you know, three games, and we were out. But gorgeous place, and absolutely, without those three games against three great teams. I mean, the three of the better teams were there, which was Spain and Australia and Canada, and that was an awesome, you know, for me, great just for me and my staff to understand what was going to be required of us to win a gold medal.
Now you have an entirely different set of issues that go on with your team, obviously, as opposed to Sherry's team, in the fact that, you know, she's at least dealing with all college kids, and you had some kids that are 16 years old. I mean, that's a whole myriad of other sets of issues that you had to adjust to. I mean, how was that?
There was really three very distinct, you know, age groups on my team. You know, the three kids that were returning back to high school when we came back, and then, you know, about four or five of them going to go to college for their very first time, and then the five collegians. So it was, without any question, that was all taken care of by the leadership, by the veterans, by those who had already been in a world championship and won a gold medal before. I mean, they just basically held my hand and you know, kind of dragged me through it as well. I mean, it was an amazing display of just character like Sherry was talking about, and then just leadership, just veterans with Stewart and Tuck and I mean, like Lexus Jones, and I mean, even somebody like Bashar Graves is so, you know, unsung, but such a veteran, so solid, so rock solid. And I thought that Mariah Jefferson's play was the difference for our team completely. I mean, she was just unbelievable with the ball. So just like I said, I kind of just tried to get out of their way, and I would ask them a lot of questions like, what happens next, y'all? How do we shake hands? When's the anthem? Like, they were just so experienced. It was awesome.
You know, being up here in Connecticut, I would be remiss if I didn't ask both of you about the fact that, you know, your leading scorers were from UConn, as in each of the tournaments. Both of them, both teams had players that were significant. Kalina Mosqueda-Lewis and Bria Hartley, of course, for Sherry's team. And as you mentioned, last year's freshman group, all three of Stewart, Tuck, and Jefferson all played integral parts. Sherry, how important is it to have people like that to come from programs that are successful? And in this case, I mean, these are national champions in addition to their USA basketball experience.
You know, I think you get a couple of things. First, obviously, you get that expectation of winning and that there is only one answer. And for those kids, especially those UConn kids who have won a national championship or just coming off of it, that's what they know too, and that's how they feel, and that's what their expectation is. So I think that's big. I think also the fact that those guys have a lot of experience with USA basketball. They played on the lead-up teams, and they kind of had been through that drill, and they know how tough it is to acclimate in a foreign country and all of the things that go along with the periphery of actually playing the games. So that helps. But I think at the end of the day, the most important thing is how those kids are. And I can't tell you. I literally don't have any words to tell you how Brianna Hartley and Kalina Lewis handled themselves. They were just amazing in every way. You know, they come in from just winning a national championship, and yet there was nobody more attentive in my gym than those two kids. Whatever I asked them to do, they were the first ones to do it. They were leading the way. They were the first to buy in. Even if the concepts might be a little bit different than what they do there on the campus at UConn, they were ready, willing, and able to do whatever I asked them to do. And that's, you know, we always say if in our own gyms, if our best players are our hardest workers, we have a chance. Well, in this environment, if your best players are your best listeners and your deepest at buying in, then you got a great shot. And those two guys led the way from the first day to the gold medal ceremony.
Yeah, and Katie, it looked in appearance, at least from the things that you could see and read here, that Tuck in particular stepped up in a leader as a leadership type of person. Jefferson was up. It was clearly a leader on the court, playing point. And Stewart is just an incredible talent. But Tuck seemed to be kind of a difference maker on that team.
Yeah, she was the captain, and I think a lot of certainly some of the international teams kind of, you know, raise their eyebrows like, why isn't Stewart your captain? And no reason Brianna wasn't the captain. It's just that Morgan Tuck is just an absolutely natural-born leader. And, I mean, Stewie has enough pressure and expectations and, you know, stuff on her shoulders that Morgan Tuck is just perfect in terms of taking it and speaking for the team and translating for the coaches. And, you know, there's never a doubt in your mind when Morgan Tuck's in your huddle that, you know, your team's going to give their best effort. So she's a phenomenally intelligent basketball player. And like Sherry's saying, I mean, I don't think people understand how hard it is to get just this wide array of just basketball, even systems, and try to take them all and just morph it in, put it in some type of a siphon and come out of it with a system that everybody can sort of feel comfortable and feel their role. And I think Tuck was just an incredible translator in that for me.
Yeah, Katie, these kids all can put the ball in the basket. We all know that. And, you know, so it really wasn't that.
Sometimes. Sometimes we didn't.
In general, we know that they can all do that. So it wasn't surprising to see, you know, them put 100 up a number of times. But to me, that final against France, to hold a team with that kind of ability, now granted they did have some injury issues that occurred, but to hold them to 28 points in a championship game was just an amazing thing to watch.
Yeah, you know, France had really given us a very, very difficult test in the preliminary rounds. And you know, I think I wasn't surprised. There wasn't anything wrong. It wasn't, you know, I think, you know, we get to the point with USA where we have this expectation of just rolling in and beating people, and people don't understand how good these teams are, and especially at the U19 level where, like, we had some 16-year-olds, and they had pros, and, you know, you're matching up against them, and they're together for a long time, and so we were very, very focused on our defensive game plan because we hadn't done a very nice job the first time we played them. So I thought that, you know, they did, obviously their point guard went down, but prior to her going down, we were already on our feeding frenzy. I mean, we had really locked down and taken them out of their game, and so it was just a matter of us converting on the offensive end. But there was such a passion. And that's what's very difficult. You know, it's hard to play what you call regular old team defense in a FIBA system. I mean, it's hard to have your regular rotations because of some of their shooters and because their post players usually can pick and pop and just can really stretch your defense. So you can't play your traditional help side drop rotations. And so to adjust to that on the fly, I thought was really impressive. But like I said, it goes absolutely 100% back to the leadership that I had on the team.
And Sherry, you had that unbelievable game in the semifinals against Australia. That was one of the best women's basketball games at an international level, inclusive of Olympics and such, that I've seen. You know, they back and forth all the way to the end, and of course the 79-78 victory. They seem to be the one program that always seems to has come as close as possible to keeping up with the United States. What is it that they do, and also what is it that some of these other countries, in your opinion, think might need to do to try and tighten that gap a little bit?
Well, the thing I found that Australia did, in addition to, as Katie spoke, of having the quote-unquote non-traditional post guys who could step out and pop and stretch your defense, Australia just did a tremendous job of putting the ball on the floor, getting to the middle of the defense, and then kicking to shooters. They're very much a rhythmic team, and they – when they get in a role of being able to get into the heart of the defense and kick, their shooting percentages escalate. And the thing that was maddening to me is I would watch possession after possession as I watched our 16-point lead just completely vaporize, was how can we not stay in front of them? You know, we're so athletic. How can we not stay in front of them? And Kalina Lewis will really like me saying that we're so athletic. She'll think that I'm talking about her. We had some fun with that. But they just repeatedly were able to get past us, which caused rotation, and then suddenly somebody's open for a kick, and they understand how to play. And I think to answer your question, what that is that's that country utilizing the strengths that they have. And while we might have superior athletes, their resilience, their willingness to just every single time they catch it, put it on the floor and get their shoulders low and put you in a position where you're on your heels. The repetitive nature of that allowed them to use their strengths and sort of exploit maybe our inability to defend that. Maybe we're not accustomed to seeing that quite so much. It was really interesting, and I think everybody who has an opportunity to be in this position comes away feeling this way, that you kind of feel like you get a chance to watch basketball turned inside out because of the different countries' approaches to the game. And, you know, when they walk in the gym, maybe one team's really big or one team's really athletic or one team's not, whatever. The way they play is always in a manner so as to utilize their greatest strengths, and they do it so well that it's very difficult to stop, particularly given the short amount of time that we have to stick a team together and prepare.
They seem to play an extremely aggressive game, too. They seem to be more physical than some of the other teams.
They were very aggressive. They were just as aggressive offensively as they were defensively. And I think that the other thing, they were very experienced. They had like 26 years of international experience in their starting five. So there were some guys who had logged a lot of minutes playing international basketball.
Yeah, I think there were some people that, you know, since this was the university games, they must be on like their fourth master's. they certainly seemed like they were a tad older than some of your kids, but you also had the fun of getting to coach one of your own in having Erin Ellenberg on the team, and at the same time you also got to coach against probably one of the bigger pains in your neck when it comes to coaching, in Odyssey Sims. So how much fun was it to have Erin on the team, and did you really like having Odyssey on the team instead on your team instead of against you?
You know what? This is amazing, and I think this is probably the greatest reflection of the types of kids that are selected. And I think also a lot of the credit goes to USA Basketball for the foundation that they lay in helping kids understand that they sort of lay their allegiances to the side when they step into this role and they become members of USA Basketball, period. It was really amazing to me how quickly everybody just laid down their guard and said, you know, we got a mission, we got a job to do here. And late in the Australia game when we couldn't make a basket, I just ran ISO for Odyssey after ISO for Odyssey after ISO for Odyssey because we had never figured out how to keep her from scoring in an isolated situation. So I figured Australia might struggle as well, and they did. And she was fantastic down the stretch and then obviously came up with the big rebound that was called a jump ball that we had to defend one more time. But it was nice to be able to have that and to know. I think the other thing that was nice about it is having competed against her so much over the past 3 years, I knew exactly what she could do and was able to put her in situations where she could use her strength on both ends of the floor. And Coach in Vegas was really, really neat from the standpoint of how our team back at home was so involved with what was going on. That was the really neat part of that, and to share in that experience and to have them, you know, they had a watch party when we won the gold medal game and sent us a video over the phone immediately, and they were just almost as excited as we were. And so that whole thing was really, really cool. The bad part of it, the tough part of it is I was probably a little bit harder on her than anybody else in terms of, you know, she's played enough today and she didn't block out, she's coming out, you know. I might not be able to pull you to Oklahoma every time that happens, but here I can. So it was fun, though, to have that experience, and that's something, you know, she and I will have forever, and it just sort of adds to the layers of coaching a kid for 4 years.
One of the things that's fun to see as a fan when you watch these things is that the emergence of somebody that you may not have heard of or expected to do as well, or see another facet of somebody develop. You know, now one of the things, you know, Katie, you mentioned, I knew, of course, having seen Tennessee, how good a player Bashara Graves can be. But the way that she seamlessly interacted with all of these different people and playing different roles was something that I thought was phenomenal. And then on Sherry, if you could also talk after that, on your team, I don't think anybody expected Crystal Bradford, other than the people that have seen Central Michigan play, to be the type of player that she was. Katie, can you talk about how important Bashara Graves was to that team?
Oh, you know, she's probably one of the just physically strongest women in the world at her age. But defensively, when you talk about some of the schemes that you have to come up with in order to defend this, you know, 25, 30 feet from the basket, she was amazingly quick. And so in our starting lineup, to be able to switch pretty much through four positions and have Bashara, you know, you'd look up and she'd be on the other team's leading scorer, some 5'8 guard that was, you know, step back threes, and Bashara was locking her down and just guarding like crazy and so willing. I mean, never ever does she open her mouth with a complaint or a you know a need or even like a request. I mean, she just shuts her mouth and just the biggest lunch pail hard hat working kid you've ever come across, and so excited for that role. You know, as great of a season as she had as a freshman at Tennessee, I mean, I thought she had a phenomenal freshman year. She comes in as humble and as just willing to just do any dirty work, any unheralded task, and so when you have that from such an anchor, you know, she absolutely anchored the defense and sort of set the tone that this is how we're going to play, and very hard on herself. I mean, very, very unforgiving of if someone scores on her, boy. I mean, she takes that defensive hangover to the offensive end to the point where you had to be like, forgive yourself. You know, you're fine. Like, the kid's, you know, 5 inches taller than you and threw a hook shot. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. Just shake her hand and go to the other end and play ball. And so she loosened up a lot there. But, boy, that is one determined young lady. And that, I think, when you saw her France game, you just saw her just – I mean, she was everywhere. She was incredible.
Sure. In the process, though, I also have to talk a little bit about Jordan Hooper because I thought she just had a tremendous game in our championship game, and she was one of those kids that I knew what she was capable of, and she played a little nervous early on, a little hesitant, and then once she got comfortable, oh, my goodness, she was fantastic. And that was maybe one of those I think if you'd had asked the committee when they selected the team if they thought Jordan Hooper would be the one that really put us on her back in the championship game, they probably wouldn't have selected her. And yet, about 2 days into practice, I thought, I'm not sure I've ever coached a harder working or more attentive kid than this. So she was terrific. But unfortunately, I knew all too well, or fortunately, I guess, depending on how you look at it, what Crystal Bradford could do, as the commentators so kindly pointed out a number of times during the broadcast. Crystal hung 36 on Oklahoma in the NCAA tournament. And I'll tell you this, we could do nothing about it. We tried everything we knew. We could not keep her off the offensive glass. And, again, that's where having that familiarity helps you a little bit. She's a crazy athlete and a wild card, and you have no idea if she's going to guard who she's supposed to on one end. But I could put her in and say, I have to get this offensive rebound. University of Central Michigan, USA basketball, Oklahoma basketball, whatever it is, this basketball is yours, Crystal. You have to go get it. And she would go do that. And then, of course, made the really tough, crazy play to give us the go-ahead against Australia. She is just one of the most talented basketball players I've ever been around. Incredibly gifted and really, really passionate and wants to learn and wants to know more about the game. And I just think if she continues to grow, she's a kid that can have a very bright future with USA Basketball.
To bring a little bit of closure to this at the end, we would be remiss if we didn't discuss quickly your two coaching staffs. Tell me that there's no parallel in what they were thinking. Were they considering we have the female head coach, the quote-unquote mid-major male assistant coach, and then the up-and-coming African-American woman assistant coach? They didn't try and match these up at all, did they? Katie, you of course, had Kelly Graves and Nikki Caldwell. Sherry, you had Brian Georges and Coach Cuis, Cokies Washington. Yeah, talk to each of you, if you could, just for a second, about how important that coaching staff was for you.
Well, first of all, Kelly Graves will absolutely kill you if you use the term mid-major, because his program is a massive program. He does such a great job, and, you know, just sort of cringes when he hears that term, because, boy, they're selling out, and they're winning games after games after games and advancing in the NCAA tournament. But there's no way you can thank a staff enough for what they go through on this. I mean, it's not you don't just snap your fingers and win the gold medal. It is a hard, grueling journey with a lot of travel and a lot of adversity and just a lot of, you know, there's pressure, you know, and it's such a different kind of pressure. But, I mean, Sherry, I don't know about you, but I was talking myself through some situations, like, you know, just because it's a stuff you haven't faced, and you know, there's so many wild cards and kids that you're just getting to know, and you're not sure if they're going to come through with what you're requiring them. You know, there's just a lot, and the assistant coaches, just their presence, let alone their expertise and their knowledge and their support, but their absolute just confident presence is amazing. And to, you know, you talk about like Morgan Tuck being a great translator for me, but my assistant, you know, we're all getting to know each other too, and for them to be so certain and so confident and just sell your concepts just so incredibly well to the team, it really sets a tone. So, you know, they make you more confident, and then therefore your message becomes more clear. And then, you know, when you play with certainty, you know, you very rarely lose when you play with certainty. And somehow, some way, you know, we all just got on that same page, and they were just, I mean, they're just awesome. And I'm so grateful. And both Kelly and Nikki are just phenomenal head coaches. But to go ahead and assume the role of a supposed assistant coach can't be easy. And they just, there was no ego at all. There was no ego involved. And we were just a team from start to end, and just a wonderful experience for me.
I would agree totally. I don't think those assistant coaches get nearly enough credit. I think there's an art to being able to do that, and it was so evident for me with Cokies and Brian how naturally it came to Cokies, because she has been an assistant, and Brian had never been an assistant before, and I can completely relate to that. He had a learning curve and just trying to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to do in this role? And he was fabulous. I mean, he's obviously a tremendous X and O guy. His scouting was just tremendous. And he's, you know, texting his staff back home, now, how do I pull this up? Because that's how we are as head coaches. We're like, can't figure out how to do the editing equipment sometimes because our assistants do all that. And so the learning curve for those guys is huge. And then, as Katie mentioned, you're in the situation where you're traveling and you're tired and everybody's living on top of each other and you're dealing with kids you don't know well, and The great takeaway for me with both Brian and Coquise, I knew that they were tremendous basketball coaches. I had great respect going in for the way their teams play, and I just thought it was a really good match for all of us to be a staff together because we tend to see the game the same way. And the thing that I took away from all that was not just what great basketball coaches they are, but what great people they are. I don't know that there are two finer souls in the game of women's basketball than Coquise Washington and Brian Georges. They were just tremendous people in every phase and everything you can think of. And as Katie mentioned, talk about building me up. They made me feel like whatever I said was the smartest thing I'd ever just said to a group of kids. And I walked away from it going, you know what, that's a pretty cool role for an assistant coach to play because it helped me tremendously. And we were in some tight situations where decisions had to be made quickly and firmly, and I couldn't have done it without their buy-in.
So final question for both of you. As long as Gino keeps saying no, you guys both just won, so who's taking over the senior national team?
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. That's
all hail Sherry Cole.
just tell Gino to say yes. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
Boy, you should have seen at All-Star Weekend, you should have seen the amount of people running away from that question, too. It was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, congratulations again. You've done a phenomenal job. You're two of the best coaches in America, and the United States and USA Basketball is very, very lucky to have you involved in their programs. Congratulations on winning gold medals. Yeah, I still think that the coaches deserve to get medals as well, but that I won't ask you to comment on. Good luck in your preparation for the upcoming season. I hope you get to relax a little bit amongst the recruiting trails and all of the other hirings and dealing with in your schools. And again, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Congrats
again, David. Yeah, you too, Sherry. And David, thanks for what you do for our sport. Appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
Becky Hammond of the San Antonio Silver Stars, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hey, everybody, this is David Siegel. Dish and Swish on Twitter is where you can find me, and on Hoopfeed is where you can find the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast each week. And I'm pleased to have with me from Media Day in Washington one of the veterans of the Washington Mystics. Now, it seems strange to say that, but Monique Curry, how are you, Mo?
I'm great.
A veteran now, huh? Can you believe it's been 7 years? This will be your seventh year?
Yeah, this will be. I can't believe it. Time flies when you're having fun, and I can say I've had a lot of fun being in the WNBA.
Well, you know, this is the 15th year from the Mystics, and the team has been one of the great success stories in attendance over its entire career. But coming off of a bit of an off season, both for the team and for you, and, of course, the first question is, how you feeling? You know, you played some in the winter, and plus you did some working in the real world, I guess. How's the knee doing?
The knee is great. You know, I haven't had any problems out of it so far, knock on wood. But, you know, I rehabbed really hard. I was able to come back for a few games at the end of the WNBA season, but really was able to kind of get back to myself playing overseas in Turkey this past off season.
Yep.
So I'm glad to be back in camp and playing pretty well.
Well, how important was it mentally for you to come back for those last couple games and just to show everybody that and just show yourself that you were ready to come back?
I just have been working really hard to get back. You know, Trudy was okay if I came back, or she was just fine with me not coming back, but I felt like I was ready, and I felt like I could contribute a little bit, and I was ready to go. So it helped with my confidence just to know that I could be out there. And although it took me a while to kind of get back to myself, I was still physically able to play, and I was happy that I did.
So now after that off season in Turkey where you said you were able to shake off some of the rust, you feeling like your game is going to be back to that all-star form you were playing with in 2010? Is there anything in particular you're looking to see to test yourself at the start of the season, or are you just confident that it's all back?
Right. I mean, I'm definitely back to myself. I just want to work on really being consistent every night. You know, the team will know what I'm going to bring to the table, and I'm going to bring it to the table every time I step on the court. So getting to the basket, I'm older now, so, you know, kind of being a smarter player and getting some of the same things done.
Yeah, things are a little bit different this year in camp. Was, you know, did you guys have to have name tags that first couple days?
Yeah, there are a lot of new faces here in Washington, but it's been exciting. It's been fun. I'm still learning names. I think I have everybody's name now. It's the second week, but it's great because, you know, players have a clean slate. They don't owe Washington anything, but they're here to prove why Washington brought them here. So just to be able to come out and play your game and not have to worry about things from the past, it's good for any player to be in that kind of situation.
Nova Sullen Barrett doing your laundry and carrying everything like you asked them on draft day?
Not yet, but they will be. They have some great rookies here. They're very cooperative and, you know, you have fun with them.
In some ways, it's got to be kind of reinvigorating to see all these new players that are anxious to, you know, both the youngsters, and you get people, you know, like Ashley Robinson, who's been a clubhouse leader in for so long.
Yeah, it's refreshing to have new faces, new attitudes, new ideas, and just people who want to win. And that's basically what everything boils down to, is wins and losses. And if you want to have fans, if you want to have support, if you want to keep a job, you need to win games. So everybody's eager to start the season and show what they have been working hard on and show the new look of the Mystics. But, you know, every year we have the same goal. We want to win a WNBA championship. And so every day on the court we're working as hard as we can towards that goal.
One thing that I'm sure you didn't sign up for when you started with this was Navy SEAL training. That had to be quite an experience. I was looking at some of the video on the Mystics website, and you guys really went through some butt kicking there.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It showed me that I definitely don't think I would want to join the Army, but I think it really tested us and brought us together at the same time. Just being able to communicate and follow directions and just be tough and push your body to limits that you thought it maybe couldn't go. So it was something different, but it was definitely enjoyable.
So with all these new faces and coming off a year that would be described as less than successful, what is the expectations that you have for this season, both on a personal level and on a team level? What's a realistic goal for the Mystics?
Well, we want to make the playoffs. I think that is realistic. I really feel like this team can compete with any team in the league. And although last season our record was terrible, we lost a lot of games by less than 10 points, a lot of games by less than 6 points. So I think with the new veterans that we have on this team, we should be able to finish more games with wins and hopefully push us into the playoffs. And from there, you know, everybody's trying to win a WNBA championship.
Yeah, I mean, the record was terrible, as you said. But, you know, people I think, the real fans of the team realize that, you know, the team was built around you and Elena last year. And when both of you go down with injuries like that, and you know, everything's out the window at that point. So, it's definitely going to be a clean start and an exciting start for Washington this year. Last question is: you guys have a couple of home games to start the season. You know, you got all these new faces in camp. How important do you think it is? How important to you is it to get off to a fast start with those first couple of home games?
It's very important. Number one, we like to protect our home, so if you have an advantage at home, you got to take advantage of that advantage. You know, having the crowd behind you, you got to win at home. So if we can get some wins in the beginning of the season, get all our fans behind us, you know, get our confidence going and up, I think it should carry over throughout the season. So it's really important to start strong, especially in this league. When you're behind, it's hard to catch up. So
well,
I think it's to come out the gate strong.
Well, I think it's going to be a fun season in Washington, that's for sure. They got some great things planned around that 15th year. And, you know, I think the fans are really going to enjoy the new intensity that some of these players are going to bring to the court. Monique, I'd like to thank you for taking some time. Do you have any last thoughts that you would like to share with the fans going into the start of this season to get them fired up for the Mystics?
grateful. You know, I like to thank those who support us and who have been with us for 15 years. And, you know, new fans, old fans, we appreciate the support. I think that we'll put a different product on the court this year, and we'll win a lot more games than we did last year, so I can guarantee that. So just continue to support us.
Good luck. Stay healthy, the entire team, not just you. And, hey, I'll look forward to seeing you guys up in Connecticut this year.
Thank you.
Hey, fans, this is LaChyna Robinson, and you are listening to Dishin' and Swishin' for the latest and greatest in women's basketball.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel, and we're talking about the second half of the WNBA season. And we've talked already to the Washington Mystics' Monique Curry about their situation in the Eastern Conference, and fairly similar situation. We have the Seattle Storm in the West, who is sitting there right now in the playoff spot, number four, looking to try and improve their lot and hold off both San Antonio and Tulsa. So I am joined by the leading scorer of the Seattle Storm, Camille Little. Camille, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, Camille, first of all, let me congratulate you on an incredible season that you're having. You're leading the team in scoring. You're having career highs in field goal percentage, career highs in free throw percentage. I'm sure you're very happy to hear me endorse. And you're just playing like a real stud out there.
Oh, thank you. I didn't even know any of those stats, so thank you for pointing that out.
Well, you know, that's what happened. That's what my job is, and your job is to go out there and be the team player that you are. But no one expects you to know these things. But first, let's talk for a second about the one person that did make the All-Star team. You know, you were a legitimate choice to be selected for that All-Star spot. And Tina, though, with all of her experience and this being the final year, was also a more than worthy selection. So can you talk for a second about what it's been like this year with Tina on the last go-around?
It's bittersweet because she's a really good friend of mine. I'm excited, you know, for her future, but at the same time, I would love to continue to play with her. So like I said, it's bittersweet. I know that, you know, she feels like it's time for her to bow gracefully, and which, you know, she's the only person who really can make that decision for herself and her family. But it's just an honor to be able to play with her and to call her one of my good friends.
Well, it's certainly been a very strange season, starting all the way back in camp for the Storm with Sue and Lauren being out. There's some other veterans that have come in, and you've got some young players that are getting some minutes. Yeah, it's been amazing to me the way that the team has adjusted to who's on the court and who's on the roster for that matter and is sitting there in that number four spot right now.
Well, I will say, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of who's on our team, you know, Brian has always made sure that this organization and this team has been defensive-minded and just a tough group of women. Although the rosters and the names on the rosters are a little bit different than we're used to, I think the style of play is the same. I think we're always going to be a tough team. We're always going to, you know, try to do our best defensively and guard people and get stops. But it's taken some getting used to, but we have a great group of girls, and I love playing here.
Well, you certainly have a good portion of the season ahead of you guys, though. And one thing that no one can ever deny is that the Storm fans are phenomenal. Yeah, it's been a little bit tougher, though, so far this year, holding that home court. You know, so far the team has actually only gone 3-4 at home.
I know. It's tough. You know, but I will always give our fans credit. They are always there, whether, you know, we're playing well or we're not. They're definitely the best fans in WNBA, and we don't say that just to say it. We really mean it when we say that. We experience them every home game, and they're always there cheering us on. You know, and we try to play our best, of course, in front of our home fans, but unfortunately, you know, we haven't gotten all the wins we wanted to get there. So we're going to try to continue to play hard in the second half of the season and get some home wins and try to also get some road wins as well.
Now, this has got to be, this season, the strangest schedule that I think I have ever seen. You know, I was talking with Monique Curry that they haven't even played New York in their own conference yet. Wednesday is their first game. Now you look
right. We haven't played Minnesota yet either.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're saying. And here, you know, you've got Minnesota. You don't see Minnesota until September, and then you see them back to back. That's after playing two games in a row at San Antonio.
Well, we go this week, actually, I think.
You go there. They don't. I'm sorry. They don't come in. Is what I meant. They don't come in until September. But you play back to back games at home versus San Antonio. Back to back road games versus
San Antonio.
Two versus Minnesota in a row. Three versus Minnesota in a row. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then two against Tulsa in a row. I mean, what is up with this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get the schedule the same time you do. You probably get it before I do. I don't know.
Is that something that
it's definitely something different. It's nothing I've ever seen. But what can you do, you know?
Is it good or bad for you to see a team like Minnesota, who you know is going to be in first or second place ahead of you, for three straight games at the end of August, beginning of September? Or would you rather sap that spread out?
Well, you know what? I don't know, because at the same time, we're playing some of our best basketball right now, too. And we're a team that I'm sure teams don't want to play right now. You know, we're not playing our very best, but we're still in the playoff run. And, you know, if we're playing pretty good basketball, we can get wins, you know what I mean? So I don't know if it's either way, either team wants to play each other in this kind of situation. But, I mean, what can we do? We have it on the schedule. We have to play those games. So we'll see what happens.
Now, you've been playing, obviously, in for the last several years in the post in Seattle. On the offensive end is one thing, but defensively it's got to be a little bit tougher. How nice is it to have Ashley Robinson back on the roster to be able to help a little bit with some of those things underneath on the defensive end?
She's a great addition to our team. It's kind of like it helps us, to me, because it's almost like having the normal team back. You know, seeing Ashley in the locker room, having her in practice, knowing what she brings to our team and her versatility and the way she defends, it's a great fit for our team, especially, like you said, with the size like that we have in the post. I mean, Gina and I are pretty tough, but at the end of the day, we're still kind of short compared to most of the post players in this league. So Ashley definitely brings a great advantage to us.
Now, you guys resume on Thursday night versus Phoenix. No one is quite sure, you know, who is going to be in the roster for Phoenix right now, who's going to be able to play due to the injury situations. You know, there's been so many injuries in the league this year, and, of course, your team has been decimated by them. How difficult is it to keep the team on the same page and not knowing, you know, who's going to be playing both on your team and also on the other teams from almost on a night to night? At least you guys know that Sue and Lauren are not going to play.
Right. Well, I mean, this season has been tricky with a lot of injuries on so many teams. And so it's one of those things where you have to, you know, try to do your best to prepare, but really focus on yourselves and what your team does best. And that's what we're going to continue to do, is make sure that we execute our game plan to perfection, whether or not they play with certain people or not. You know, playing defense doesn't matter if certain people on the floor, you still have to play defense regardless of who it is. The scheme may be a little different, but you still have to play defense. And so that's what this kind of our mindset is, just to defend the best way that we can, try to score when we can, and hopefully put ourselves in position to win the game.
How big was it to go into the All-Star break with that, first with that narrow one-point loss and then beating Los Angeles right back?
It was a good way for the break. You know, it was a tough game to lose, you know, to play that hard, to play that well, and to lose by 1 point, you know, a last-second shot. But it was a great feeling to go to L.A. and to get that win, going to the break. It's something that we haven't done in the past, especially playing in L.A. the last couple of years. We haven't played really well there. So it was a really good feeling for us to work that hard and to get the results from it.
Well, Camille, you know, as we look forward to the rest of the season, you know, is there anything that the Storm faithful and the people that are looking to see what you guys can do to hold off the team fund? Anything in particular that you think you're going to dust off? Any surprises that we should be looking forward to?
I don't know anything particularly. I think we're just going to try to just continue to build the way we've been playing before the good. We're going to have some good practices and try to, you know, bring a spark and try to go out with the bang at the very end. We want to make sure we definitely get in the playoff spot, continue to get that spot, and to make, you know, the best run we can in the playoffs. We'll see what happens, but we're going to do our very best to get there and stay there.
Well, Camille, I want to thank you for taking some time after practice today. Camille, there is no doubt that you have been one of the more unsung players in the league this year. You're putting up great numbers into a team, into a playoff position right now. And no denying that, you know, Coach Agler has a lot of confidence in everything that they bring to the table for this team.
No, thank you very much.
Good luck, and let's see if the schedule shakes out in the Seattle way.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.